It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
Hi everybody, and welcome to the Football Sack Podcast once again. My name's Jack, and Christian and Pat are with me as they always are. Hi guys.
Hello.
We are going to go over the overnight action from Brazil in the FIFA World Cup 2014. We'll start at the top of the show by thanking the sponsors that make this show happen. Southern Cross University here where we record, and Banking on Football, the major sponsors of the show. Get a great deal on your banking and support your grassroots football club at the same time. Bankingonfootball.com.
Now, speaking of sponsors, there's been an interesting story that's come across from the World Cup. Apparently, obviously, Dre Beats headphones. We've all seen the players get off the bus with the Dre Beats hanging off their ears and all that sort of stuff.
It's almost like part of your kit now, isn't it?
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, I think most of the kids have the Dre Beats headbox little slots. You can put it in there and things like that.
Do they? Yeah,
cool. I made that up. Oh. And anyway, Sony is, of course, or not of course, a major partner of FIFA and the World Cup. And they're getting a bit antsy because Dre Beats are getting all this great exposure, so Sony are not. They're rivals, because Dre Beats just been bought by Apple, which is one of their rivals, and so they've actually approached FIFA and said, well, we would like you to ban Dre Beats headphones, so banned from the World Cup, so players cannot be seen in public with them, especially at games, and in return, we'll give every player a pair of Sony headphones.
There you go. Oh, very interesting. Reminds me also of a story with another of FIFA's sponsors, Coca-Cola. They were worried that, players might be seen drinking Pepsi or something like that. So they went around to all the teams and said, can we give you guys some Coke? And all the teams went, yeah, sure, we'll take it. Except for the Colombians, who said, no, mate, got plenty. Got heaps. Good. Got a drugs joke in the first minute of the show. Excellent. We're away.
Family-friendly show, this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, cool.
The kiddies.
We should also mention something of pride of the Football Sat podcast. We are the only football media show on the air that John Aloisi isn't on the panel for.
I think he's desperate to find work, isn't he? When does he sleep?
He's always pulling on TV. Him and Zeljko Kalac are pulling some serious shifts. The thing is, a lot of people are getting up and watching the World Cup early, and that's fine. Zdrilla must get up and do his morning shift, and I assume he sleeps during the night. But the thing with John Aloisi is you turn on Fox Sports at lunchtime, he's doing something there. You turn on the Full Brazilian on SBS in the evening, he's there. He's either got a stunt double.
He's running from set to set when you click channels.
Yeah, that's right. He looks at what the remote's changed to and runs over to that studio.
Well, maybe it's Simon Colosimo. They're doing the double shift, because I remember one time I was at the Gold Coast United match against Melbourne Heart, and John Aloisi missed this open net which would have drew the game. Anyway, so in the post-match press conference, John Vanchit comes down with Simon Colosimo, and we had this journalist who was just subbing in for one of the papers up there, so he wasn't the regular journalist, and He went to Simon and went, so how'd you feel when you missed that empty net? So could have lost the game. And everybody was just so deadly silent. And then he just went, mate, I'm Simon Colosimo. And don't worry, it's not the first time. And it won't be the last.
Really? Oh, so he took it well.
Well, he sounds like he took it well, but he was very, you can just tell he's very, very offended.
Yeah.
And he just lost the game too, so he wasn't happy.
Yeah. Almost like the, now, Mark Schwartz is not in the squad. Yeah, but he's been to two World Cups. He's just played the Champions League semi-final. And Ange Postecoglou said, yeah, mate, you're missing one important point there. He's retired. Which was a great way to get your point across.
Apparently, I didn't know what Jack's talking about. In the press conference where Ange Postecoglou announced the squad, a certain journalist just went and sort of kept hounding him about Mark Schwartz who wasn't selected, and Ange just went, come on, mate. He's retired.
Yeah, exactly. Overnight action from the World Cup, we should get into probably the big, we'll go through all three games, but probably the biggest one is England, two losses at the tournament. They've gone down 2-1 to Uruguay, Luis Suarez and Steven Gerrard, just on the same wavelength. Can't stop.
Great combination. Had it for Liverpool, and now they have it for
it's England / Uruguay.
Uruguay?
Uruguay pool?
Probably should have prepared that one earlier.
Yeah, sure. This show's not even live, and we still don't prepare. Something I wanted to talk about with that game was just seeing how Hodgson was just making like-for-like changes the whole time.
Yeah, what was happening, though? He didn't want to score any goals because he's running out of support staff.
That's true, yeah. He can't afford any more support staff to be on the plane home. Good. That's a good joke. Yeah. Well done.
He's getting better.
Wayne Rooney does have his first World Cup goal after 700 and something minutes of trying. So he was fortunate. It was a 3-yard tap in with no keeper bit of beat. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have found a way to miss it.
I thought it was a volley.
Yes, that's which David Vichy had described as a volley. And if you want to know why,
I think he silenced some doubters there. That one goal.
Absolutely.
It was a good goal.
Yeah, that'll
lucky get... he was only 5 foot away from the goal.
So England, not officially out, but really facing, it's out of their hands now. Costa Rica play Italy tonight. I think they need the Italians to win to keep them alive.
I think they need Italy to win their last two games.
Yeah, they need Italy to beat Costa Rica and Uruguay. But, I mean, England need to beat Costa Rica themselves before worrying about what Italy are going to do. And let's be honest, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. They've been sort of quite flat. So England could be on the plane home, and you got to feel for the English because...
No.
Well, you do, mate.
Isn't it funny that the game they invented, they're just really crap
at?
Yeah,
it is funny.
They've been crap for years.
Yeah, but don't you feel bad for the poor sods? They're out of the World Cup, and it's summer over there, which means now they've got to sit back and watch the England cricket team go around for the next 3 months. So, in other action overnight, Colombia played Cote d'Ivoire. Jovinho scored again after being something of just a joke at Arsenal. I remember his miss in the Capital One Cup from a yard out at Bradford City. It was, and there was a joke going around that literally if you'd put a sofa there, the ball would have bounced into the net. But he, a scorching goal.
Oh, it was a great goal.
Stepped inside onto his right foot and blasted in, but Colombia scored twice and won. They've won again. How good are they? Nobody sort of really talked about Colombia. Falcao being absent, obviously, most people thought that would be the end of their tournament, but they're looking very good.
They are, but I mean, their opposition has been rubbish. I mean, they've got Cote d'Ivoire, who aren't great at the moment. They've got Japan, who are playing like absolute gash, and Greece is no better. So it's like...
Gash. I'm going to let that slide. It's a pretty apt description. I watched the game this morning.
Yeah, imagine Australia in that group. They'd be similar.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think if you put Australia in that group, the three teams you mentioned, we'd probably top it.
Well, we really would. Yeah. I mean, Columbus scored 5 goals in the 2 games. The way we've been playing, I mean, we scored twice against the Dutch. We'd be up there in that group, unfortunately. So how much can you read into that? I don't know. I think Colombia's just an okay team in a pretty poor group this year.
Okay, decent shout. That sort of shut down that Colombia argument. So any Colombians listening?
Oh, they're good.
Ooh, face off here in the studio. I think Pat might back down.
I've got nothing to back up my point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, so Colombia 2, Cote d'Ivoire 1. Let's move on to Greece, Japan. A board draw that opened the accounts for both of them at this World Cup. And it's a nice change for Greece after closing so many accounts over the last few years. But it was typical Greek fashion. Can Greece please stop qualifying for tournaments? You just ruined them. I know they had a man sent off, but don't pretend like if you had 11 men, you were going to be adventurous and go forward. They're playing for a 1-0 and a set piece every time, aren't they?
It's crazy because it's their first. The thing is, they're not even good at doing that. It's their first clean sheet in about 10 World Cup matches.
That's right. They concede goals so often that the tactic should be to try and score, but they don't.
I just love watching Greece play. I just like seeing all the expressions when they miss a goal. They just get so angry on themselves. It's like, the world's going to end for them.
Yeah, well, they're angry because they almost accidentally scored, which is clearly against team orders. The coach has told them not to.
Their issue is they're going against modern tactics because they're trying to keep clean sheets. They're not letting the opposition score first, and that's their downfall.
Yeah, with this 2014 World Cup, he who scores first loses tactic.
I think that's got to mention in every podcast.
Yeah. And I think ever since we've mentioned it, it hasn't come true.
No,
Socceroos didn't do it. England.
I think we need to cut it.
Uruguay.
Cut it from the podcast.
Yeah, ever since we missed it, that would have been it gone.
Yeah, we'll give a spell. It's tired. It's tired.
We need to think of a new game plan.
Yeah, we'll give it a spell on the sidelines and it'll come back fresh.
On a side note, how bad are some of Japan's misses?
Bad, yeah. Well, you know, look, all the wags of the World Cup can't be as hot as Millie. Oh, you're talking about the misses. Oh, sorry. Of course, the misses were bad. Some of them...
they've been shocking this World Cup, haven't they?
Japan. Paul, we were talking about this off air. In qualification, I think they only dropped points to Australia. Is that correct? And cruised through. And
we'll say it's correct. No one's going to actually check.
It all comes down to Colombia for them, and I can't see them winning that game the way they've been playing. So Japan could be on the way home.
It's such a shame because the last World Cup, they were a team to watch. They were one of the rare teams which actually controlled the Jabalani. They did it reasonably well and were entertaining to view.
So Japan look like they could be on the way home if they don't get a good result against Colombia in their final group game. Looking ahead to tomorrow morning's games, we have Italy-Costa Rica, as we mentioned before. So Costa Rica, what do we make of them? It was a fantastic win for them over Uruguay. Italy sort of took care of England without really being spectacular.
Yeah, I don't think Italy were particularly tested against England. No. I mean, I still believe they're my dark horse. I mean, they could actually go on and win the competition. You know, there's a few teams there which may give them a run for their money, but with Spain gone, you know, the Netherlands, obviously, we showed them up in terms that they are breakable. You know, Germany and might be the only ones who can challenge them.
But they've got this thing with Germany where Germany can't beat them. Whenever they meet major tournaments, Italy have just got the hoodoo over them. So I think it's a good shout, Italy, to go all
they're
the
very
way.
Solid, aren't they?
Just Italy, just tournament football. They know how to get exactly it done. Right. So obviously, famously, sort of sound at the back, but they're able to get it done up front. Anytime you have Mario Balotelli up front, you're capable of a goal out of nothing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, dark horse. So watch them. Thoughts on that game at all? Predictions wise, I think Italy will probably get the job done there as well and qualify out of the group.
You'd think so. I mean, but we thought Costa Rica wouldn't stand a chance against Uruguay. I think we just dismissed that game as a given when we talked about that. So who really knows? I mean, it's going to be those ones we have to wait and see what happens. But Italy, you have to lean towards them, especially as I just taught them up as championship hope. So
now you have to lean towards them. Nobody else does. Switzerland against France. They met in 2006 at the World Cup and drew nil all, and was the last leg of a multi-bet of mine that I needed France to win, and I still haven't forgotten it.
Well, it was a good game for the neutrals, Switzerland-France.
Slipped that one in there. So the neutrals can watch that, and people who are going to watch it, but then will probably back out later, they can support France.
Yes, great. It's the old joke. Yeah, the French tank has it's the gear stick. You know, has one first gear. Reverse, second reverse, third reverse, and then has first gear in case of attack from behind.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. Jim Allen's probably sitting there with his little pad, just writing down all Christian's.
This is going to be on the full presenting tonight. Absolutely. I'd like to start with a joke about France. I've just thought of it myself. Honduras against Ecuador will be the final match tomorrow morning.
Yeah, good game.
Yeah. Absolutely. This has got check with SBS for the ratings tomorrow, because this could break all sorts of viewing records. But there will be an Australian flavour, because A-League referee... Was he A-League referee of the year? He was Asian referee of the year, I think, wasn't he? You're looking at me so blank. I'm sure he won something.
I'm pretty sure Peter Green was A-League referee of the year.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure Ben Williams won. Maybe Ben Williams got the Asian Champions League final.
Mm. Or maybe we're just getting him mixed up with another Ben Williams, because I've actually got a mate, and this is a legitimate story. His name's Ben Williams, and he's quite active on Twitter, and he's very much into football. He's actually in Brazil over at the moment, so it's quite funny. But whenever Ben Williams has a bad game, so whenever Ben Williams referees a match, he just gets an absolute torrent of abuse on Twitter. People think he's the legitimate Ben Williams, and I just enjoy it.
It's kind of like the Tottenham fans. There's a referee in the Premier League, Chris Foy, and gave a penalty or sent someone off, and Tottenham fans abused Sir Chris Hoy, the cyclist, on Twitter. And then there was a lady in America who had the Twitter handle AVB, and she copped a lot of abuse every time Tottenham lost game. Similar sort of thing Ben Williams. Yeah. Maybe he should just change his name on Twitter. He can still be on Twitter, but just to avoid the abuse.
Well, I wonder if, because your Twitter account's obviously Jack_Quigley.
That's right.
I wonder if there's haters of this show who actually tweet Jack Quigley. Just go, mate, you're a rubbish host.
Yeah, like, is there a person out there with Jack Quigley as their Twitter name?
Well, there should be, otherwise why would you have bothered with the underscore?
I don't know. I can't remember. I was on Twitter a long time ago.
Oh, before it was cool.
Twitter, yeah, exactly. Star. Oh, yeah.
This story is completely unrelated, but, yeah, when I was bored one day, I thought I'd add Lord Patrick Flaherty's on Facebook.
It seems like something that someone like you would do.
Yeah. I added about 12 of them. A lot of them accepted, so now when I scroll through my feed...
Well, you have a hard time telling what you did and what the other Patrick Flaherty's did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a random quick trying to add me, unsuccessful attempt to try and add me.
Also, again, unrelated to football, but a bit of a story. We could cut this out if it's rubbish. But my first ever phone number was 0417 222 083.
I'm sorry, just before you go, First of all, if we cut out stuff because it was rubbish, we wouldn't have a podcast. Second of all, is this number still active?
Well, this is the great part of the story, was that after a few years of not having it anymore, I gave it a ring and some girl picked up. Now, I first signed up for Telstra Big Pond, where you could actually send text messages from the internet, and it comes up as your phone number. So a few years later, I logged onto that and it still worked. So I started sending her messages from her own phone number. It got disconnected very quickly.
Texts from her own feet.
Yeah.
So what would it come up as on her phone?
So it would come up as her number. So
oh, so she wouldn't know who was texting her, yeah. And she couldn't, oh, like, reply.
And it's coming from her own phone. Like,
were you sending selfies of yourself?
One thing's for sure, I'll be sending the tape of this to the police. This is the Football Sack Podcast with Jack Quigley, Pat Flaherty, and a really weird guy. We should mention our sponsors while we're in a good mood, because that's the mood that they put us in. These sponsors include Sports Management Group Australia, SMG. They have helped us get some sponsors on board for the show, so they're wonderful friends of ours. So thank
follow
you
on Instagram.
Yeah,
though.
Follow me on Instagram, which was
me as well.
Pat was very weirded out about how they found him, because his Instagram handle has nothing to do with his name or anything. So yeah, he found it very odd that they found him.
Obviously, got a mole in the studio.
Yeah, one of us, me, is giving away your details, and I'm about to give them away on air, a la Christian Leyland. And he's going to be tweeting you and texting you in a 5 years time.
I'm worried.
Yeah, you should be.
Take my phone away from me.
Other sponsors include Elite Personal Training Studio in Lismore. They're fantastic sponsors of ours. If you're in the North Coast region and you would like to get in shape, Ben, Dean and Jay are fantastic trainers. They have a little boutique gym down there. They work one-on-one with you for great sessions. So get yourself in shape. Get down. Give Dean a call. 0403-571-582. I didn't think I'd say this, but that's the second phone number we've mentioned on air on today's podcast. And you did, the first one was disconnected, you said, wasn't it?
It was last time I checked.
He's going home to check tonight.
He's gone off as a guest.
Yes. And Arrivederci's Pizza in Brisbane. Now, Italy play tomorrow morning, so apparently it's the place to be.
It'll be bonkers.
It's the place to be anyway, because they're sponsors of ours and it's awesome, but it's a pizza place. It's Italy. Put two and two together, get there for the Costa Rica game and have a great time. They're great supporters of ours.
So I've had a chat to them and apparently they're very keen for us to come up and do a podcast from the venue there. So I reckon that'd be nice to have that meet along pizza in front of us at whatever time we're up there and get a show done.
I also asked if they had a wall of fame for eating and they don't as yet. They did leave as yet there as a teaser, so we could be Brisbane bound.
Could be a special Football Sack only display on the wall just for World Cup or something.
Yeah, well, who can eat the most pizza during the podcast that we do? We should start with a meter pizza, and God, that would just be the worst podcast. Mind you, we're not setting the bar extremely high anyway. We have a special guest on today's show who's going to drag that standard right back up again because he's actually funny. His name is Jim Owen. He's a legend of Australian comedy, international comedy as well, and he's going to join us right after this. Our next guest on the Football Sack is a comedy legend, a very funny man, and a guy who's going to make us seem much less funny by comparison. So I don't know why we're getting him on the show, but we are. It's host of The Full Brazilian on SBS 1 at 7:30 p.m. every night during the World Cup. It's Jim Owen. Mate, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on it.
Mate, we'll start off. I just wanted to know, I was interested when I heard you were coming back to do The Full Brazilian, because you've done TV before, but I know that you prefer stand-up live in an audience to television. Why was it the right time to come back and do a TV special?
I mean, it's really just a learning curve for me, a lot of this, and I think that's how I'm coming at the show. I'm just going to have a laugh and have as much fun as possible doing it, and then learn the mechanism of trying to make a TV show, which is something I haven't done. I've never done a live show like this before, and such, like, to do 26 shows live every night for the whole of the World Cup is just one of those life challenges. You thought, this would be interesting to see. I'm enjoying watching the mechanism work, and hopefully I can learn from it. We're all like those things in life, that we can push ourselves, do something different, and it's the one sport that I am passionate about. So I was able to feel that I could sort of come at this with a sense of humour and a sense of passion at the same time.
You are now working at SBS. Does that mean you have access to the archive of foreign movies? You know, the ones that they show after 10 o'clock?
Yeah, I don't think there's any need for those sort of movies now with the internet.
Yeah, that's true. They've stopped showing those a lot more now. I know you like to sort of relax by yourself before you do a gig. How do you go with television where you'll have people buzzing around you right up until the cameras roll?
Yeah, you still try and find a moment, though. You have to find that moment where, as much as possible the whole day, where you can focus, that moment where you can just hopefully try and just relax. But yeah, there is a period of just focus.
Speaking of getting in your zone, some of the teams at the World Cup, like, for example, Australia and England, have been allowed to have sex. Some of the teams, Chile and Russia, have been told they can't. What's in your contract with SBS?
Hand of God.
Hand of God. Well, whatever gets the job done, I suppose.
I don't really have any contract. I'm fully aware that the show that we've got is a family show. It's at 7:30. It's PG, but as I say, that's SBS PG, so that's pretty much game on. I mean, we're hoping the show appeals to a young generation at 7:30 because that's really where football lies in Australia, our next generation coming through, getting into the game. So it's just a little bit of a childish look at all, and we're just trying to have a laugh and be light with it.
In terms of the World Cup on the pitch, we've sort of been asking our guests, former players and stuff, what their highlights have been from the World Cup. What's been the highlights from a comedian's point of view? Obviously, the England physio slipping on a water bottle celebrating has got to be up there.
The whole show that we do, the Full Brazilian, it's really looking for comedic moments, and there's plenty of them. But, I mean, I'm more interested in the passionate moments. The Timmy Cahill, as I say Cahill because I'm Irish, Cahill goal, for me, you know, I don't need the humor sometimes. I just need that pure, raw passion. And I just had that, you know, with both of those games. And I really hope that they can beat Spain. No, I'm really optimistic they can beat Spain. Very nearly beat the Netherlands. And, you know, when you're up at that time in the morning when you're doing this show, and you're doing a live show, but nothing gets me riled like watching Socceroos. I'm just on the edge of my seat and I'm shaking. So I don't really find it, you know, it's a mixture of comedy, passion. It's very much the World Cup would be all Timmy's goals.
Now, talking about a mixture of comedy and passion, obviously you're a Liverpool fan and very passionate about them. So you must have been very, loved the Gerrard to Suarez combination from last night.
Yes, great flick on by his teammate, Steve Gerrard, who the only problem is it was the wrong team, really, wasn't it? This has been a year of blunders for Gerrard, really. It happened in that Chelsea game. If it had gone the other way, they could have absolutely won the league. And he had a shocking moment. And the speed at which Suarez took that flick on, it was almost like I think he probably forgot. They could have. It's quite possible they forgot that they weren't on the same team. Just a beautiful, beautiful move. Like Suarez saw it and came. If that's the only thing, they're just wearing the wrong shirt.
Mate, you sort of fell into stand up comedy. Sort of read about you. You sort of got signed up to go in a free mic, an open mic night, and then you sort of just did it as something on the side. At what point did you think that this could be your life?
When I started getting paid more for doing that than I was getting paid as a builder. Well, I also had my hand slightly forced because there was a recession. I don't know if people have short memories when it comes to recessions, but there was a recession in 89 where interest rates were at 16-17% and the building industry wound down, and I was told the job that I was on, when we finished that job, they didn't really have another job for me to go to. So I really thought, why not just focus? As a lot of my comedic comrades do, we're realistic about earning a living, and you know, we're not naive that we have to earn a quid. But I was pushed into it. I don't know if I would have had another construction job if I would have done it, but my hand was forced and it worked out well.
You're from sort of all over the place. You're born in England, raised in Northern Ireland, lived in Australia for a really long time. So the idea of nationality sort of isn't big for you. So who are you cheering on during the World Cup?
I find the whole nationality thing a bit of a joke, really. And I find the whole game of football, everything, all sports are a bit of a joke. Grown men chase a ball.
It is silly, but we love it.
We love it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm not really into nationality because I was brought up a Catholic in Northern Ireland, so you don't really feel part of any country, really. But having said that, I have a strong association with the Republic of Ireland and actually with Northern Ireland, and believe it or not, with England, because I feel that they're our neighbours. It's always good for a wind-up, isn't it, to say you're not. But yeah, I go for England. I'll go for Cote d'Ivoire in this World Cup because their flag backwards is the Irish flag. I think that's the only reason, really.
Mate, I know you've got to run to record your show for SBS One. You've got a production meeting for the Full Brazilian, so we will let you go. But thank you again for joining us on the podcast today.
Okay, all the best. See you later.
We're going to call it a day on today's show. Thank you so much for listening in. If you are still listening at this point in the show, we do owe you a thank you. My name is Jack. Christian is going to say goodbye as well.
Mate, it's been a pleasure. Goodbye, everyone.
Has been a pleasure. And Pat, say goodbye.
See you.
And just a warning to anyone who's downloaded the show on your iPhone, Christian Leyland now has your personal details. See you, everybody.
Maybe expect a message from yourself soon.
See everybody tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.